Hey everybody, we're here for our content implementation call, just to give you some tips and tricks for getting through the content modules. And this particular one is digestion. Now, digestion is a huge module. It's one of the ones that is approaching 25 to 30 hours worth of content. We actually do it as a separate program. So it's long. It's kind of like, well, there's a lot of long ones, I guess. There's micronutrients. There's this one. There's insulin resistance is long. Food principles is really long. So it's one of the long ones. But I want to go through it and just give you an idea of how to navigate it and how to get the most out of it. For some of you who've been all through our, let me just share screen for a second. For those of you who have gone through the client version of it, the grand program, you know, some of it is going to be some overlap, but we go deeper on the physiology and the anatomy and the biochemistry of it. So there's a lot more to it. So this is, I was just on the macros. So we'll go to digestion. And if we look at digestion, we look to see that there are a lot of core content pieces to it. There's 20 main ones, and then there's some bonus things. What I would say is, you know, you always want to do first steps, which would be, what is the first steps for all programs? Actually, I think that one we don't need to go through. Yeah, we don't need to go through that. That one's in there because we offer this to the public. Most of your modules don't have that first steps link because we don't offer it to the public. Learning objectives. So what do we want to do? Well, you really want to know your anatomy, physiology of the digestive tract and understand the hormones. The hormones is a biggie because most programs don't cover the hormones, and there's so much interaction with gut hormones and the rest of the body. For example, like GLP and GIP and the effects on insulin regulation and on blood sugar balance. So I think it's a really good thing to know and to understand because honestly, the digestive tract is the biggest endocrine system organ in the body, really, because it makes more hormones than any other part and probably as many as everything else put together. I'll be able to assess the digestive tract function. This is a general assessment. We go into even more detail on the assessment in the assessment module, where there's actually a lot of case studies and all that to get you really capable and comfortable with it. And then to be able to apply balanced protocols to the various parts. So who has not done the pretest yet? Have you guys done the pretest yet? Kim, have you done that yet? Yeah. Okay. And like every other, it's not graded. So, you know, don't worry about it. It really gives you an idea of where you need to focus attention. Like, oh, I think my anatomy is really off. I don't know. Which of the following answers have a subset of the correct stomach secretions? Mucus, acid, lipase, gastrin. What do we think? Are those produced in the stomach? Acid, pepsinogen, gastrin, intrinsic factor. Ghrelin, trypsinogen, acid, and mucus. Mucus, gastrin, protease, and ghrelin. That's a tough one if you haven't gone through the module, right? It's not something, I mean, you could guess at it, but it's kind of challenging, right? Which of the following answers have a subset? I would say acid, pepsinogen, gastrin, and intrinsic factor. That's the answer I would give. Right. So you have to know that. You have to know that, well, trypsinogen is actually produced in the duodenum, or lipase is produced by the pancreas and secreted into the duodenum, or protease is produced by the pancreas and secreted into the duodenum. So really by exclusion, but you have to know your stuff to be able to answer this. So it's not like we expect you to get them right. We just expect you to see where some of the studying is worthwhile to do. And then we go into the modules, and I don't want to go through every single module, but let's skip the modules for now. And we'll go down to some of the other things that we have here for you. Case studies. Okay. There's a bunch of case studies that we had calls with people and we brought in. So these are from live case study calls. You've got past ones, April 6, 2016. Then we have all these others. So this actually should all be listed as past case studies, but they're all case studies that you know, people who are submitting, these are really good ways to learn. You asked about repetition, repetition, repetition. When you hear me going through and explaining to people how to look through and identify and assess, it's a really good thing. We also have, we don't have this on most of the modules, just on a few, education and marketing, because we created a training to help you to take this. Because if you go through this without going through the other parts, you initially become really adept at doing digestion and create a program and offer people a program, whether it's a group or an individual. And so this has community education. It's got creating a coaching package that you can actually use to get out there and, you know, work with this. Then there's advanced topics like everything else. We have references, books, etc. I found a whole bunch of stuff online for you that really is nice little videos. I hope that one still works. Digestive anatomy, gastrointestinal, there were some wiki books, and some of these are public domain books that you could just access, right? So I thought, what the heck, put it in there, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. The whole thing on the pyloric sphincter, right? The pyloric sphincter is actually, hopefully it's still there. It's this band that goes around at the end of the stomach, right? At the bottom of the stomach. And it can cause a problem if it's too loose and letting contents drip out too fast, or if it's too constricted and people walk around feeling like, oh my God, I have this like lead in my stomach for hours. And this talks about all these other aspects of it. So it's stuff I found that I thought would be interesting. There's some online quizzes that you can use to test your learning. I thought those were interesting. Some of these, this one looks like it may not be working anymore, how digestion works. So Lynn, we need to take that off or find out where that link is, if you could write that
down. Yeah, Valerie Mills and I have been going through them. So I have the list, and we've created tasks, and we're looking for new ones to replace them with.
Okay, but in the meantime, I just take them down.
Yeah.
So give
it. Yeah, that's part of the, it's part of the task.
Edit and take it out.
Yep.
But there's some good ones here. You can see like some of these are endoscopies and some of them are colonoscopies. And you can actually see what some of these things we talk about. Well, what does actually look like? Here's a peristaltic wave in the gastro. Come on. I don't want that. There you go. This is what it looks like inside the stomach as things are going, right? It's really cool. I don't think we all have music like that. But look, this is what's going on inside your gut, baby. Anyway, you can watch all these. They're fun, right? And some of them are like, here's the liver and the pancreas. There's one on the pancreas. This is Crohn's disease. Like, you saw how pretty and pink that mucosa was. Look at this. You see all those kind of white things? Yeah, that's the disease. That's the inflammation, right? So this is what it actually looks like when they're going in there and what they're seeing. You know, are they seeing some spots that are all red and inflamed and, right? So it's a really good way to get a visual, because sometimes when we read about things, we don't really have a visual of it. And when we get a visual of it, it's really cool. There's ulcerative colitis. Anyway, so I had fun looking for these and finding these. And some of them, I found these little courses that I thought people had really good, fun ways of explaining. So I thought they went.
I hope you don't mind that I'm eating. This is actually just my first course. For my birthday, the writers wrote me a script where I just get to eat the whole time. Heck, the rest of my digestive system would have a really hard time dealing with it because.
So, you know, when you can watch something that's funny, you know.
There were some of the videos that I needed to replace because, you know, as you said, there are, after a while, they no longer work. And I really enjoyed looking for them because, you know, it's just, it's fascinating. So I really encourage people. Yeah. And the more you do this, the more, you know, you're talking about retention.
Exactly.
It just sticks.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, so that's the advanced stuff. And then there's done for you stuff like that you can actually use. Look at all that, right? And here's the thing. I don't believe in protocols, But so these are called protocols, but they're really not. I just use the word because everybody knows what that means. It means it's a starting place, putting together the various things you've learned about what do you do for dysbiosis. And we give them to you in Word docs as well, so you can go in and edit them and put your own logos on them and make them sound like what you want. But what's some of the evaluation you're going to do? What are some of the common causes? What are some of the lifestyle habits? Whoops. So it's not a protocol like 3 grams of this and 2 grams of that and 3 capsules of this, because that doesn't work for everybody. Common causes, so lifestyle habits to improve it, dietary habits to improve it, and some of the herbs. So it gives you like a summary sheet of stuff that's spread throughout the modules. Okay, and then where am I? Same thing with all the rest of these. So we have like 12 of them, I think. SIBO, leaky gut, IBS, IBD, hypochlorhydria, hemorrhoids, H. pylori, dysbiosis, diarrhea, constipation, acid reflux, optimizing stomach acid. These are just not protocols, but there's a lot of stuff you can use as starting points and summary charts. Like Kim was saying earlier, making charts really helps. These really help to pull it all together. And what I'd recommend that you do is you just print out the ones in the PDF, keep a binder, and, you know, keep your binder in the section on digestion. You have this and you can quickly look and remember, oh yeah, there's that herb, there's this herb. What's going to work best for this person? When you're working with herbs, if you're not an herbalist, you really want to match the herb to the person, not to the disease. So if you see an herb that does this or that, it's like for people with a hot constitution or a cold constitution or people who have hypochlorhydria, but they also have lung dysfunction, you know, so you try to match the herb to the person, not to the disease. So that's why we put those together. But you've got a bunch of assessments, digestion assessment, and you've got them all in docs so that you can make them your own. So you don't have to start from scratch like I had to do. Just trying to make it easy for you to really get started with this. And if you're just going to start and you have a patient coming in, you're going, oh, I'm just going to print this out and give it to them, right? Or send it to them by email. I don't have to make it. And then over time, you can customize them and make them your own.
I was going to point out real quick, you were talking about a binder. If you didn't get it, let us know. You should have received a package with a binder when you registered for NEPT. And it's huge. And it has dividers for each module. So I highly encourage you to print these things out and put them there.
Yeah, and just print them out and put them in there. And this one is invaluable. I wish I had this early on. It's basically the PowerPoint presentation. So what we're giving you is, there's a recording of me doing this, a specific one that I did for the public, 3 ways your digestive health affects your energy, your mood, and your sex drive, right? And I put together a bunch of slides. You can watch me do it. You can listen to me do it, but you can also download the PowerPoint and you can use whatever slides of mine you want and you can add your own. You can add your own stuff to it. You don't have to give me credit. You can just use it as if it's yours. That was one of my gifts to you. I have one here and one in the insulin resistance. So it really does help if you're like, I want to do a talk in the senior center, but I only have 15 minutes. Okay, let's take out 3/4 of the slides. Let's make it there and add your own bio to it or whatever. And now you have a process. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah. So what's next? Okay, so all of these, like Lynn says, the next steps, use these to actually, you know, sign somebody up to work with you. You can find a willing volunteer, right? Ask them to complete the digestive assessments, analyze the digestive assessments, and then guide people through the, it doesn't have to be the same person, but an HCL challenge, the transit time, the optimizing the various parts of the track, depending on what's going on. You know, if you find that this person has H. pylori or has had it or has an irritable bowel, then look at the protocol sheet and help them use, you know, design something specifically for them. And then do the 30-day leaky gut repair protocol and parasite cleanse for yourself so you understand how to do it with clients. So going forwards and then backwards, there's the exam. And there's probably a lot of questions. 103? There's a lot of questions there, right? So take your time going through it. And, you know, if you have to look stuff up, you look stuff up. I decided not to make them timed. I know some places with certifications do make them timed. You have 2 hours to do it. I'm kind of the belief that life is full of books. And when you hit something that you don't know, you'll look it up. And the fact that you can look it up, you can go, oh, I don't remember that. It must be, oh, it's in that section. Let me go look at the picture. And so you can look things up. You're going to learn it by looking it up. It's not like you're cheating and looking at a copy of this test somewhere. You're looking and you're reviewing it in order to answer the questions. Okay, so we don't make you like, give us your start time and then 2 hours later you have to finish. We want this to be a learning process. Okay, it's just one step in the certification process. And then you can actually get your CMDS certification when you finish this and go through the steps before you actually get through the 36 modules to get the certification for the whole thing. So Susan, if you've been through this, you know, do the processes for that. And that helps you as you're talking to your friends, your family members, getting out in the community, talking to Louisa's patients. Oh, you know, I'm a certified digestive mastery coach, right? I'm certified in digestive health. And so then we have a whole video that explains the criteria and all the things you have to do. And then some of these will apply towards your full NEPT certification as well. Right? So it's not like you have to do 15 of these different things. So do it, get that certification. It'll give you practice with doing some of that. And you know, you have a certificate to put on your wall. Like that.
Yes, I have all the certificate requirements printed out and in front of me.
Beautiful.
I haven't gotten I have plenty of clients now, but I just now need to wrap my head around how to present it in a format, but it's all written here. I just need to sit down and wrap it around.
We actually explain how to do the case studies and how to present them. And there are examples.
Right.
So you can listen to.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a little mini step. And then if we go back up, each of the modules, should I start at the beginning or just pick one randomly in the middle? Let's pick an interesting one. Let's pick SIBO, SCD, and FODMAPs. We'll jump right in because they're mostly organized similarly. So digestion is unit 4. Digestion unit 4, accelerate elimination, part 13. So we broke these up into units. They really should be set up this way on the side instead of the one. Anyway. We used to just have it as the long list, and then we had units. And I don't see where the units are listed. But anyway, unit 4 is accelerate elimination, part 13, SIBO, SCD, and FODMAPs. So you have a whole bunch of stuff, and in every one, just like every other module, you get to check off. I watched the video. I downloaded slides. I downloaded audio. I downloaded the additional materials. I did all this stuff, and I completed the quiz. You can't check off. You have to actually complete the quiz. That's the way we keep you from cheating. You have to actually complete it and it automatically fills it in. So you watch the video and we've got usually on all of these, we have additional materials. So we have this modified specific carbohydrate diet alphabetical list. Is this, we have an updated version of this. There was one, I don't know if it's here, but I think I want to make a note, Lynn, that we have it. We gave it out at SIV last year. Not last year, the year before. It's 2017, the Food is Medicine. It might be this one by food category. No, there's an updated version of this we should replace it with. I think. Maybe this is it. But I thought I had a whole description of how to incorporate it. This might be it. So what I did was I took all the SCD and FODMAP things, and they're really confusing to people. And they think, oh, I've been on a FODMAP, low FODMAP diet for 3 years. Well, you shouldn't have to be on a low FODMAP diet for 3 years. You should be working on getting it fixed so that you only have to be on it for 2 or 3 months. So if not, something's wrong. So I go through this and teach how to go through it. And this is something that, you know, I think it's on the Done For You. It should be on the Done For You page, where you can actually give this to people. Where, you know, here's, if you're working with somebody who has a lot of digestive issues, put them on an elimination diet where they only get to eat stuff out of this green column for now. And if there's anything in there that they know they're allergic to, they cross it off. I mean, it's a decent sized column. You know, it's not like there's no foods in there. Some people may not be able to eat, for example, lentils or some of the fruits just because they have blood sugar imbalance. So you can take this and you can tailor it to that particular person, right? So we give you tools like that. This is the protocol sheet for SIBO, right? So we give you a little bit of background on it. And this is your summary cheat sheet. And then there's an assessment. I hope this still works because I didn't actually create one. Yeah, I copied it from somebody else's. One of these days we'll create one. It should have had their person's name on it, but they don't, do they? They didn't have their thing on it. Anyway, and then we always have this place for personal notes. So if you're here and you go, reminder, I left off at slide 72, you know, on the thing, or at minute, 28.32. That way, when you come back, you can make notes for yourself or something that you want to remember. People do use those. And then each of these modules in the digestive track have their own content review, usually about 5 questions per subcategory. So, because what we wanted to do, because we have, this is open to the public, we wanted people to be able to just get, and it's so long, we didn't want you to have to wait till the final. You know, you had midterms and pop quizzes in college and high school. It's kind of like that. You just get to have a little thing to remind you of this topic, and then you do this and it's cumulative, and then you can get out there. So, you know, like I said, there's no way I can go through all of these because it's long. I will go through some of these bonuses and then whatever ones you guys want me to go through. Teaching tools. Oh, some of these teaching tools are actually things from things we took from our patient sites. Let's see. Yeah, so hopefully this works because we changed. You need to log in. That's what you and Valerie have been going through, right? To see if they work. So it's going to take you to this other site to look at all this stuff that you can use and teach people from. If you click the link and it doesn't actually take you in, then what I want you to do is go and you'll have to log in and then you'll go. Your login for both sites should be the same, unless you've changed one but didn't change the other. There's other things here. There's a bonus. This was a really cool one that Steph Jackson did. She did it live, and then we put it in here. And it's basically on clinical mastery of the digestive. So 3 imbalances, 5 bacteria, and 10 probiotics. And she got real specific about that. This other one I created, genetic markers related to digestion. It's like an hour-long presentation on all the genes that we know of that are, let me see, transcript. Why is that not there? So you guys will find this as you go through. Why is the transcript not there?
There are some that didn't have a transcript, but yeah, it's something that we're going through.
Yeah, so we should get those transcript ordered. So this is, you know, it's got a lot of slides, just all the different genes that I knew of at the time. I might know more now. And then let's see how long it is. If you click like that, it says, I think it's, hello. Yeah, it's an hour and 22 minutes. So it's a lot of great information about digestion as it relates to. This was a bonus we put together to give you access to the lab stuff beforehand. And we offered this to the public when we offered. So we had organic acid, but this is specifically the organic acids related to digestion. So I took the full thing from the organic acid module and I just cut it out and really tailored it to what are you going to be looking at to see about digestion. So it starts there. It's only 20 minutes long. And then there's digestion testing. And there's several spots of it. So you can get all of that in here in one place. And then giving you case studies and the different labs and all that. So you have everything you really need to get started with helping people with their digestion. Let's see. What's downloads? Oh, wow. This is a good page. I didn't even know we had this. So for each of the parts, it has lists to any downloads on the page. So one place you can come and get all your downloads. This is good. I guess we don't need it for the other shorter modules, but for something like this, it's really good. Yeah. So any questions or comments or particular ones you'd like to see and have me review with you? You feel motivated or overwhelmed? I know it's a lot, but you're going to be really, you know, we're going to get you certified as a digestive mastery coach. We're really going to understand it. One of the things I want to show you, I will show you this. The endocrinology of appetite. When have you heard a talk on the endocrinology of appetite? And we go through all the different hormones. This is a pretty long one. I think it's over an hour.
Hello.
51 minutes. If we go to the slides, you'll see that there's a lot of charts here. Because you said, I can't, how do I memorize all this? You don't. You print out the things that are good charts, right? So here's all the different peptides that affect people's appetites. And we go through it all in there. And there's charts like, what's the hormone and how does it affect appetite, right? And so you got somebody who just can't control their appetite. They may have an imbalance in their gut hormones, right? Here's the GIP, glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide. It's actually gastric inhibitory protein. So it stimulates insulin release while eating. Diabetics become resistant to it. So they don't even respond to it anymore. And that's when it gets to be late stage and they're not making enough insulin anymore. But type 2s have plenty of it. GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide, it slows down the gastric emptying and promotes insulin release and inhibits glucagon. So this is why somebody may say, I don't understand. I ate this food and within like 2 minutes, my sugar started going up. They're going, yeah, because the gut is signaling to the pancreas, hey, let's get this process started. There's sugar coming in. So the sugar goes up and then the insulin comes up and it comes down if it's working properly. And if it's not, then, you know, so these are places that you can be looking at. And then the other one I really like, I had fun putting these together, was the hormones related to digestion. I've talked about this on summits a lot. Because nobody really talks about it, except Mike Mutzel, who's coming to shine. He's going to talk about some cool stuff. And there's a quiz. So this is just a... I think it's 45 minutes. So between the two hormones, this is an hour and a half of content here. And we're looking at, I'll do it this way. We're looking at a lot of different hormones, where they're all produced, what are the major ones, and then details about all of them and what they do. Right? Are you going to memorize this? Probably not for very long. But some of these things are really good. And the charts are really good to print out for yourself so that you know, as you're working with somebody and you're going, huh, why is this person not making enough of this or that or the other thing? Well, it could be related to the hormones, right? So anyhow. All right. Questions, comments, anything else you want me to look at or explain? Inspired to get started on it? Finish it? Yeah. It's really, I love it. Obviously, I love learning about this stuff because then when people, the more you do it and the more you watch and the more you learn, when people start to talk to you about some of their conditions, you're right away, your brain is scanning your data bank and you're going, I think that might be related to gut hormones. You may not remember all the gut hormones and what all the functions are, but you will remember and be able to go, oh, I think that's where I want to look. right? And so that's what my goal is with a lot of exposure and a lot of repetition and a lot of deep dives, is that you just be able to talk. Now when people talk to me and suddenly I'm seeing their biochemistry in my brain and I'm going, oh, I bet you have a problem in this pathway over here. Now, I don't have all my pathways memorized, but I can then take out a book and look it up. I have this really cool chart. I don't know where it is right now. It's somewhere amongst my charts. It might be over here, actually. And it's just this really nice flow charty thing. I found it at the Stanford Medical Library ages ago when I lived out there. And it's just this beautiful chart that you open up, and it's got all the biochemical pathways in the body. It's really cool. I mean, if I had room on my walls, I would hang it up. It's that cool, but I don't. So I don't hang it up. I have it hidden somewhere that I don't remember where it is. All right. You want to show us how you share your client? What is that? So do we? Oh, I missed some of this stuff. Aside from the client's decision, I've completed all the first 12 except finishing digestion. Great. 3 of the micronutrient tests and blood sugar balance and module 15 and mastery. Good for you, Elaine. Martha, trying to create, what are the things that are wrong, symptoms to help me learn? Yes. And when you make charts, you think about what you wish you had and you make it. So as you're studying, you fill it in and then you learn it because it's practical. I really wanted to go, but I had a family trip. Oh, it was great. You'll come next year. I really want to do more things like that. I love those retreats. I just absolutely love it. Storytelling is ancestral. And the thing is, we can be so effective. I was sharing before we did our vital show yesterday, Diane, who comes here and helps, and she knows Karen very well, and she was asking about the retreat. And I said, you know, so we were working on stories, and at lunch, Karen told me that she was going to use the story of how she, you know, fell and broke her leg and how it took away her independence, and relating that back to why she's so passionate about helping people to keep their bones healthy and all this. And so as she's saying this, like, all these images flood into my mind. So I said, here's what I envision. You just look out in the audience and you say, there I was lying on the floor, looking up at the sky. The dogs were barking around me. I had excruciating pain in my leg. I knew at that moment that it was broken. What I didn't know was what that ordeal was going to be like. What I didn't know was that I would be dependent on other people for the next 3 months, that I wouldn't be able to cook for myself, drive, or do anything. That loss of independence really cemented my commitment to you, to helping you to maintain your independence throughout your life. We all think that as we age, we're going to lose function, but it doesn't have to be that way. And you can be independent throughout your entire life. And I went through that, and, you know, and weaving her story in and out of how that happened and how hard it was for her, but how she realized that now she actually got what the problem was that the audience she'd selected was going through. So that's the kind of stuff we did on the last day, and it was really cool. But I would say, encourage you to think about a story that got you excited and keeps you going and wanting to help other people. And how do you start right in with the story, not with the BS of I'm so-and-so and I do such-and-such, and they're like, who cares? You get them riveted, like, to your story. They want to know what happened. And you leave them hanging. And then you go on and you do your talk. And then you come back full circle to the story. And then you find some little sentence phrase at the end that you can repeat that really hones in. Like for her, I said, now is the time to take charge of your health. Now's the time to shore up your bones and make them strong so you don't end up breaking a hip or breaking a bone and losing your independence. Now is the time. Like, you repeat that 3 times and you can even end with, now is the time, right? And it just gets people going, I want what she has, right? I want what she's having, because they really want the result, because you've cemented it in with them very emotionally. And that's why, like Martha said, yes, storytelling is ancestral. And people just, they hang, right? They hang on every moment. That's why people like to go to the movies and watch TV shows, because it's a story of somebody else's plight and that they may be able to relate with that other person's plight. And when you can get that client who's sitting there, that potential client in an audience, to relate to you in that way, you got them. They want to work with you. And then you're going to help way more people. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody have any questions?
I do.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Because I'm beginning with a case study. And do we do the recording at the beginning? Like after we have them do the assessments and stuff, then sit down and record it? How we approach them right then or when? It doesn't really say.
Well, it's an intake, right? The first, the one of them is, it's your, how you're interacting with that person. And it's about a 20 minute. So you can, you know, create rapport with the person and then ask permission to record it. Okay. Or if it's a Zoom call and you have already gotten permission and you're going to share it with them, then mm-hmm. you can just record the whole session and then, you know, decide where you think the best performance might be, you know, what we really shown, or just send us the whole thing and we'll
figure okay. it. So it just has to be audio, not necessarily video.
It doesn't have to be video. It's nice if it's video, because then we can see, you know, how you're responding to their non verbal cues, right? You learned a lot about that with Laura, right? If you suddenly see them go, you know, and you just ignore it and keep going, that's a different mastery than if you say, huh, I saw you, you know, you curled up your nose and your eyes got really narrow. What's going on there? Right? Then you're going to get deeper with your investigation, because they may go, oh yeah, I got an itch. Oh, okay. Or, you know, I've been having allergies in my nose. That's one thing. But they may go, well, what you said really struck a chord with me. You know, it really reminded me of when my mother used to say stuff to me and it got me, or whatever they say, you know what I'm saying? But it's like with the recording, we can tell better how you're responding to people's nonverbal cues as well as how you're responding to their words.
Makes sense? Yeah, I'm feeling that already, just dabbling in the TH from the training. And it's a very close friend of mine, but she has a serious condition that we're trying to stop. And so she's already a pretty good eater and all this stuff, but learning about the energy is pretty fascinating. Trying to read her.
Yeah.
It's
and what part of it is that observation, that. Right? You stay as the objective observer, because mm-hmm. a lot of times
trying
we
to.
Have our things friends. We want to say.
It's harder when you're friends, because it's hard to be objective, and I'm learning that. So, you know, I told her, if I'm overboard, let me know, you know, because sometimes I get too technical. So, yeah. And right now her brain phase for a detox is pretty slow. So it's slowing me down. So we both just agreed that we're going to take our time, but right now get her amino acids balanced so she can think, and adrenals, a few things we're getting right now.
I mean, it's best.
Yeah, I'll ask her to do a recording now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Because she didn't want to use the medicine. So, yeah. Okay, thank
good
you.
Good for you. It sounds like a good case. Anybody else?
I have a question on that same note. Not being tech savvy at all. like, forget about the video. That's not going to happen, because I don't even want to go there to learn that.
Zoom?
What is the best way to just record? Do I do that?
Are you talking recording somebody who you're face-to-face with?
For a case study. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be face-to-face. You could be on Zoom. So if you're on face-to-face with them, if you have a cell phone that has a recorder on it,
okay.
You just put the recorder on that. And you put it down and you ignore it.
Okay, so I think actually now that you say that, I have that, because I have a feeling we did
an iPhone or an Android. It's built
an
in.
Android, but I have a feeling somebody uploaded it for me at the last retreat we had. Okay. It's not Vimeo.
There's a lot of them. I'm not familiar with Android as much. But yeah, if you were to go to the app store, whatever the equivalent of that is, I don't know what they call it, and just say Lynn would know because Lynn has an Android.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have an Android and I do a lot of videos on there. And it just says, where did it go?
Oh, a Temi is what I have downloaded.
It just, it says camera.
Oh, that's so, video. If you wanted to just do audio, is there an audio?
Oh yeah, there's an, just, so if you go to where it says tools, mm-hmm, and it says voice recorder.
Oh.
And okay, you end up with something that looks like this and you just click the dot and.
Yeah. The other one you could do is download Otter. I know they have an Android app. And you can hit that, and that'll actually transcribe as you did, which I forgot to turn on today. I have to have my checklist now. It'll actually transcribe as you go. It's not great, but it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
You've got me bringing this food up, and now I'm just munching. Not good.
Unmute yourself, Louisa.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question, and I have something that, Susan, you need to listen to this. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I have a conference with the Washington DC head for, what has happened is while you were having the retreat, I was at PECA, which is our national organization. So I told them I had a wellness coach in my office and they had lectures on how to get optometry helping, but they were doing it with diabetics. So tomorrow there's a conference call with the lady in charge of the state of Texas, with the lady that is in charge in the Washington DC office, and with me. And they have given me they're giving me a CPT code where I'll be able that, not me, but Susan can bill up to 10 visits through Medicare and through insurance.
Whoa.
But she has to be certified on something. So you need to get certified digestive, and just get something that I can say you're a certified health coach. And they've already, they're going to get me in contact with the head of Methodist Hospital in San Antonio that is in charge of the diabetes, course for patients, and then so we can be able to help them and take care of them, because it's called something, they're looking at outcomes, like we're keeping patients from getting worse with diabetes. And it could be, Dr. Rita Marie, that I might need to volunteer you to speak in front of our national organization.
Can handle that.
This, it's really getting very interesting.
And I think it's awesome.
So I missed the retreat, but you all have no idea all the things, all the doors that were open in this meeting I was at. And it was in Austin, but I was at the Marriott.
Oh!
Yeah.
You should have at least stopped by.
Oh, let me tell you, we were there till really late every day. Oh. It was busy. But so I need Susan to have something that she certified. Okay. Because now we'll be able to also bill up to 10 visits per patient a year.
That's awesome. Here's the thing. Get the insulin resistance. It's easier than it's the same as the digestive mastery, but it's less modules to have to deal with. And you already went through the modules in the test. So get the insulin resistance one. The other thing is that once you get a certification with us, you can go and pay a fee to the American Drugless Practitioner Association. And they give you a designation as a whatever they have, a certified holistic health coach or something like that. So once you've passed one of ours, you get to go there. And we have information on that on the certification page, right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's awesome. And so, that opens up a lot of doors for others who are going through this program to be able to hook up with optometrists. Right.
Actually, another optometrist reached to me yesterday and she wanted to know if she could refer to Susan. And she would like to know if she can get a wellness coach. And I said, well, I'm going to talk to some of my other classmates mm-hmm. and I'll find you one. Because
absolutely. Susan, where is she located? Is she, she's looking
here in San Antonio.
She's in San Antonio as well.
Yeah. Hmm. So this one is in San Antonio, but this, as it goes larger, there's going to be other cities.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And if you're meeting with the national people, then yeah, there's going to be, and then we have people all over the country. We just have, that'll give them more incentive to get certified.
And you know, I have done all the work for the insulin resistance. I just need to record, because I do speak to patients every day, but I just need to record something and finish that up so I could get that certification. Because I think it's going to help when I'm talking to all these people.
Yeah,
I've told them that I'm a student in your course, and that's why I know a lot of things that they were asking me. And what was interesting is they were asking questions like how many diabetics and pre-diabetics are in the United States, you know, and I know all the answers, so I told them. And she's going like, oh my gosh, you're a wealth of information. Where did you get all this? And I said, well, I've been studying all this. So
that's awesome.
So it was amazing, but it was really very good. So I'm really excited for Susan, because she can do it full time, but we need certifications so they can, so then we can build them, because this is only the beginning.
They won't have the excuse if I can't afford it, right?
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. Yay. I think, I was going to say, there's an optometrist that, I mean, some of them I'm impressed with, right? Because Diana Palmer, who's in our ERC program, she went to her optometrist and for her annual visit. And the optometrist said, you got to get your diabetes under control. She says, I don't have diabetes. He says, your eyes have diabetes. Well, she goes, no, I don't have diabetes. My numbers. And he said, well, you've got the changes in your eyes and you've got to get this under control. When she went to her primary, they said, no, your fasting blood sugar is fine. You don't have diabetes. And the optometrist wrote a referral letter and said, this person needs to get her blood sugar under control. And that's when she joined Sweet Spot. Went back a year later to the optometrist, not to the primary, because the primary was useless, but went to the optometrist, who said, oh, wow, you've reversed all your changes. So that was exciting. Great. Yeah. Yeah. And then we want to avoid the situation like one of our other people went through, is that he had never tested an A1C. His fasting blood sugar was in the 90s, but the doctors always said, oh, it's no big deal. It's perfectly normal. And he had had some, not retinopathies that he knew of at the time. He knew of neuropathies. He said, but my feet are tingling. Can that be a sign of early diabetes? Oh, no. You're fine. You're fine. Well, he went and got an A1C tested at a health fair. And his A1C was 10 point something.
Wow.
Yeah. And so all these years, and now he's gone in to get his eyes checked and he has retinopathies. He's actually lost part of a visual field because they refuse to accept that, you know, it's really kind of sad. Yeah. So this is great.
So regarding, you know, say I focus on the ISRPT, which I've done pretty much everything except written up a case study. So one of my clients, she was not compliant enough for me to warrant a case study on her. I have another one that I could write up, but I can't get her to get any lab work done. And I guess my question is, what exactly are you looking for in these case studies? How detailed and how much success and progress and all that good stuff?
Well, one of them, we're just looking at your skills at being able to assess and put together a treatment plan or a, you know, protocol, whatever, you know, the plan for that person based on that. So kind of what you guys did with your sober people in ERC, you met with them, you did a full case history. And then you put that here's how we're going to work with you. Like the second visit you had that. So that's really what we're looking for, that you know how to do that. And that we can see when you lay out, this is what I want to do with this person, that you know all the steps you're going to take. You're going to do the glucose meter testing. You're going to monitor this. You're recommending, even if they don't do the testing, you're recommending that they get A1C, you know, fasting insulin, whatever, that you know what you're doing when you're making the recommendations.
Okay, so you're not necessarily looking for, for some reason I had it in my head that I had to have this final outcome when I was done with, say, my 3-month program, and yet I've got some of these uncompliant, challenging patients.
Right, and you can't really control that. There are ways to control it.
I can't make them do anything.
No. Yes.
Yeah, so and there are examples. There's examples and templates and everything on the certification page.
Yeah.
So you can just
do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me know if you need some help with that.
Okay. No, that helps hugely. If it's just the front end of getting them started, I feel a lot more confident in that. I was just waiting for results at the end of a program, and I didn't feel like I was getting those so much just because of non-compliance.
Kind of like, and Louisa probably went through this too in her, you know, internship when she was, before she graduated and had to get licensed, is we had to go through these certain number of cases where you were supervised, you went in and you did the assessment, you went and talked to the professor and you said, this is what I'm finding. And this is what the professor would come in and talk to them with you and then approve your treatment. It didn't matter. Most of those people were coming into the clinic, at least where I was at, for 2 visits because they had this special because they were trying to feed us, you know, feed us patients. It was like $50 and you get 2 visits, but most of them we never saw again after those 2 visits. So all we really had got to do was to do a comprehensive assessment and then a review of findings. And then we, you know, most of them we never saw again, but it's just to see that you have that clinical ability to do it. Okay. Yeah, and we're trying to.
That's super encouraging and very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a good incentive to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
Well, we've got work now.
Not getting work done.
Yeah. I know, I was telling my husband, he says, you know what? I think Louisa could keep me busy 5 days a week. And he says, well, I guess we could move to San Antonio. And I'm like, oh, no. I like my country life, but yes, I do drive 1.5 hours to go to work, but.
You could do 2 days back to back and spend the night in my house.
That is in the back of my mind. I'm thinking about that.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
But here's the other thing too, is it's just, I want to switch over to having more of my, right now I'm doing a lot of face-to-face at Louisa's office. And I would like to move over to doing a little bit more via Skype at home, because what's the challenge is I've got all my materials here at home and I can't schlep everything back and forth. Sorry.
With the billing, you won't be able to do that, right? Because it has to be a face-to-face.
Oh, that's right. That's, yeah. Is that true, Louisa?
I don't know.
The first visit.
Only the first
visit. The first visit has to be on-site.
Because we can bill for tele, whatever, medicine. Yes.
Yeah, my initial 1.5 hour consultation, I do at the office.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you can do more. You can. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think we can also start doing groups when we have more people and just get them by batches. Yep. You know, the sugar people, the autoimmune people, the dry eye ones.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
You guys have it good going well. I love seeing this. And
it's exciting.
It's really cool. That's why we've been very busy. I've been very busy trying to keep up with all this, but I got to do all this. I got to
so
finish
excited,
it.
I'm excited because you're making a huge difference in it, not just in your community, but you have the potential to make this difference globally.
Yeah.
Nationally.
I realized that at this last meeting when they were really pushing for this. And
I love it.
It was really
nice. We're making headway, guys. It sometimes seems as we're reading all the crap about 5G and vaccines and all the other stupid stuff that goes on. We may get discouraged, but we really are. There is some forward progress, not in every area, but there's definitely forward progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love it. And I think that, you know, for the rest of you guys listening to this, it may give you some other avenues, right? If Louise is successful at working with this on a national level and they're truly enforcing that thing about optometrists have an obligation to do nutrition counseling if they see something in someone's eyes, that you can approach optometrists. So it could be MDs, optometrists, nurse practitioners, PAs, chiropractors. There's so many opportunities for you to support these folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Anybody else? All right. Well, I'm going to go take a quick break before my next call.
One thing, too, that I know we're working on is having a page listing of all the graduates. So we'll have, like, a page of the CMDS graduates, ARSPT graduates, and any PT graduates. So we do have people who write into our help desk doctors, as well as just regular people. And so if that's something that we can give them, yeah, and you're on there.
Right.
We need to do this. Yeah.
And we'll get more and more out there. We are working on right now, and hopefully within the next 3 months, we'll have, we actually don't have a website for INE other than the membership site. So this just goes to tell you guys, you can have a successful program without a website. Because everybody's like, I just have to get my website up and then I'll start doing this stuff. No, you don't need a website. But we are going to create one because we want to have the referrals, and we want to have, you know, we want people to be able to find us and see what we do and get excited and have videos on there and all kinds of stuff. So I'm excited about that. And we hired somebody who's working.
Yeah, and the other thing too, just to speak kind of on that note, I feel like every week I'm just flying by the seat of my pants, you know, just trying to stay one step ahead of my clients, because though I've studied all this stuff, like you said, it's repetition and actually handling the material and implementing it that I learn it. So, you know, Kim, you were saying you can't remember stuff. It's like, well, neither can I. But I look back and I must say that I have days that critical inner self gets like, what the heck are you doing this? You know, you don't know enough, you know, you don't have any medical background, blah, 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 all that crap. And then again, I look at my clients and it's like, but wait a minute. You know, I am serving them and they keep coming back for more and I'm getting results. And it's like, that's all that matters. It's like, and I learned that from homeschooling too. You know, those of us that homeschool, you just have to be like one chapter or one lesson ahead of the kid.
All you have to be is one step, right? And then
I still have more information than the client does.
Yeah, you have more and sometimes you may not, right? And so that's when you start to research. And I'll tell you.
And I know where to go to get information. And I think that's the key. That's what I love about you, Dr. Rita Marie, is that you don't insist on us having it memorized. I know my mom always said, it's not what you know, it's that you know where to find the information. Mm-hmm. And that's always stuck with me.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing. We call that the imposter syndrome. I'm out there and I'm a health coach and I don't know what I have talked to people, I have contacts and I powwow with people who are in very high visibility status, people you would know, who also have the imposter syndrome. Okay. Yeah. And you go, huh? Why would she have that? Why would he have that? Right. Because we all want to know it all. We all want to be able to help people the best we can. And then if somebody says something, I'm like, I don't know. You know, you know, I'm going to look it up. I'm like, you know, I'm not exactly remembering, because there's most of the stuff I've learned. It's not that I didn't learn it. Some weird ass disease of, you know, I'm like, I'm sure I learned that in a class somewhere. It sounds familiar, but I don't remember what it is. And then when you go look it up, you go, oh yeah, now I remember. Right. So, and the first thing you knew is it autoimmune? Oh, great. I have ideas for how to handle autoimmune, because all autoimmunes have a similar approach. And then there's the specifics to like where it's attacking that you have to do healing protocols on that area, right? And so it's all about creating balance. So I would like to say to you that that feeling will go away after a year or two.
No.
But it won't. It won't. And it's how you handle it. If you run away and hide and don't do it, But you're not doing that. You're just stepping into it. But the discomfort will always be there. The fear about getting up in front of an audience will most of the time always be there. You know, am I going to say the right thing and all that? I have that all the time. But I've learned how not to show that. You know, or I've learned how to mobilize that feeling, transform it into an empowering feeling. Like, I'm here to help these people. They're not out there to criticize me. Right? I spoke at a medical conference last year and I thought, and I was like, I don't know how this went. And it was weird. She called me up this week. She goes, she wanted me to come back to her medical conference again. She goes, you were the most popular speaker at our event last year. And I'm like, really? They had no idea. Right? Because a lot of people sit like this. You know, right? You think that they're like criticizing you, but in reality, that's just their way of like, it's just their way, right? Because I always look for those faces in the audience of the ones going like this. And then I just look at those people, right? I don't look at the others. I just look and I'll scan the audience and I'll lock in on that person who's going, yeah, yeah. So it won't go away. It's how you manage it that will. And you're managing it beautifully.
Yeah. And it's being genuine.
Yes, real. Okay. Action, authentic.
People are attracted to that.
Exactly. Just be real and be vulnerable. I sent out an email on Mother's Day that was really vulnerable. We got so many amazing responses to that, right? Because I was being real and I was being genuine, right? It touched people. So I'm going back to doing more of that. I used to do that a lot more when I didn't know what I was doing. And then I started learning these marketing strategies of how to write emails that were compelling and cause people to act. And so I started to do some of that.
Sound like everybody else.
But it's like, I know I'm sounding like everybody else. I have the best thing since sliced bread. Buy my used car now and I'll give you, you know, the steering wheel to go with it. But that's not me, right? So I'm going back to using the techniques I have about getting people to want to take a call to action, but coming from my heart. And that whole storytelling thing just so resonated with me because that's how I started telling my mother. I started telling the story. I did this one. I have to find the recording. They sent it to me and I'll share it with you guys. But I just had a 10-minute thing. It wasn't even a TED talk length. It was a 10-minute thing to share who I was, what I do, and what I could do for the audience. And I said the audience is medical practitioners because I want to get in front of more of them to get them, like, you know, moved over. And I just started it out right in the middle of my story. You know, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon on my 35th birthday. I'd come home early from the clinic. I'd gotten somebody else to cover my cases. And I was on the exercise bike getting a little exercise in before my husband came home to take me out to dinner. And it was really, really exciting. And then I went on, you know, he walked in the door and I went, oh, he got home early. I'm so excited. And he gave me a look that I'll never forget. He'd never had that look before. He's never had that look since. And that's when he told me that my mother had a massive heart attack and died that day. I just started the story like that. And everybody in the room was like this. And then I went through my emotions. I was sad. I was crushed, but I was also angry. I was angry because why didn't her doctors know that she had a heart problem? She was 56 years old. Weren't there tests they could have done? Weren't there things they could have guided her on? And now knowing what I know that there were. They just didn't believe in them. They didn't think about telling her that her cigarettes and her fast food and whatever were killing her. And I'm here to talk to you about learning that, the strategies and whatever. And I went on with that. And I said, so I want you to come home at the end of the day, not going, oh, you know, I saw Mary today and she's still alive. We're keeping her alive. The medication's keeping her alive. But I want you to come home and get excited because Mary is now playing the piano again. Or Julie is now having sex with her husband for the first time in a decade because of the things that you've educated them on and empowered them to do to really do the cause and really get changes made. That's what I want for you and blah, blah, blah. So you see the difference between, hi, I'm Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo and I teach health practitioners how to use holistic methods and nutrition and all to help their clients. They're like, yeah, oh wow, right? But I used a story. And the more we can learn to do that, and the more stories we have, you know, like Louise, you probably have lots of those stories of people whose lives you've saved. or if you have your own story of how you got into this. You know, I was desperate. You know, Kim was struggling with your own health, right? And finding that, there were things the doctors weren't telling me that actually could help me. And, you know, but you just start and get into the middle of an impactful story. And Lynn did a great job of this at the retreat. Yeah. And Karen did too once.
Yeah. Well, I was watching her. I was watching, you know, I think Claudia did it. Just watching everybody. And so each time I would pick something up.
Ah, you're at the end.
I was the last one.
To be the last shot.
But I've, you know, and it just struck me. My daughter just had her 35th birthday. So as you said that, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Happy birthday, daughter, right? Would you like to give that as a gift to your, it's a gift that just keeps on giving. Every year on my birthday, where do I go, right? That day, 35, when I was 35, so 28 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, up until then, I really wasn't sure what is my story. You know, I didn't have the similar story, but I remembered really one of the things that happened to me and for me. And it's like, I just shut my eyes too, because I was really in that space. Mm-hmm. And I heard the alarm go off.
Practice, but she did a great job without even practicing. You know, you can tell.
Yeah, no. Because you're just in it. You're just in it. And it was about me. You know, I'm a bone-sucking, tired mother of seven that's homeschooling and doing everything else. And I woke up this day and couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't even lift my head up off the pillow. And, you know, that's part of the story. And it's helping me to further understand and refine my niche. And what my, you know, in some circles they call it blue ocean, red ocean. So my ocean, whatever color you want to call it, is leaky boundaries. Mm. Leaky boundaries lead to leaky gut, lead to leaky bladder, lead to leaky brain. You leak your energy everywhere. You have a leaky voice. You have a leaky heart. And it was finding this story that was a big part of it. So, you know, like I was saying, those ancestral stories are so important.
Yeah. So I would think about, like, what is your story that keeps you going? What is it that keeps you going? What is it that encouraged you to shift around? I mean, Lynn Rose, I mean, you could really tell an impactful story about, you know, injecting one more kid with this stuff and how that was like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore as a immunization nurse, right? And what can I do that's different? How can I really help these people to really get their health back? So there's a lot of little things, and we need to make the story a little more dramatic, right? Than we might normally tell it in a very, oh yeah, I was home and it was my 35th birthday and whatever. But when you can tell it from the standpoint of being a storyteller, and with the idea of getting their attention and getting them to relate and getting them to be able to be motivated to take action because something you said just struck a chord. You know, and I kind of felt with the if I'm talking to like a nurse or an MD audience, right, that feeling of like what we hear from the MDs and nurses that do join the program are like, I was not satisfied. I mean, people weren't getting better. I'm tired of seeing these same people over and over again, year after year, and just giving them a refill on their medication and not ever seeing them get better. And that strikes a chord for a lot of people, right? So what is it that would strike a chord for the people that are in your target audience or any audience for that matter, right? And then you can create a signature presentation that you can make whatever length you are given. So you have the half hour version, you have the 90-minute version, you have, and then your stories kind of stay the same. Maybe they're a little shorter, but the data, how much content and data you put in between will expand and contract. And what can you tell in that story in that short period? Like if it's 10 minutes, you know, how much can you share? Like, you're not going to do a lot of content. You're going to do a lot of really hitting them emotionally and getting them to take your call to action. So what is your call to action, right? So as Karen's talking about losing independence and bone health and breaking bones and, you know, throws in some statistics about how many people over the age of 65 have broken bones, independent as a result. And then she can tie it into now is the time. So what I want you to do is if this is something you want, maybe at the back of the room, I'm going to take your name down. I'm going to send you my whatever free, or let's get started, get into a class or whatever your call to action might be. You create this impact, you get them hanging, and then you go, here's how I can help you. Because if you don't say that, you're cheating them. We had people at the retreat a couple of years ago. I remember it was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago saying something like, oh, I did this seminar and I charged $50 and I got a bunch of people to come to it. And I'm like, great. And what did you offer them at the end? She said, well, I didn't offer them anything. They'd already paid to be there. I said, you cheated them. Because did you give them everything they need to know to get well in that 5-hour seminar? She goes, well, of course not. He said, then you cheated them by not giving them a call to action, that not giving them a way they could follow up with you. And she's like, but I feel like I was being sleazy was the word she used, because I brought them there and they paid me. And then I was going to try to sell them something else. I said, and by not trying to sell them something else, you left them hanging. The ones that are really motivated and touched by you, they're going to find somebody else to go study with because they want that result. You cheated them by not giving it. And it was like, really? Oh, wow. So it's a different way to look at it, right? To offer our services is an offer. It's truly an offer. It's not a sale. It's an offer. I'm offering you my expertise in exchange for a few dollars or whatever it is, right? And if you don't make that offer, oh, and that was the one that Lynn was there, Lynn Martin, you remember? And she was helping us. And I said to her, come here. She had come to our very first SIV. And she signed up for our gold SIV program. She didn't know me from a hole in the wall before that. Somebody had found my thing and sent it to her, and she thought it sounded good, and she came to the event. And she was so blown away and so inspired, she gave me like whatever it was, $6,000 to join the program. And I said to her, so you came to that thing and you paid to be there. You know, she paid probably $400 or $500 between the food and the whole thing. And I said, you paid to be there. How would you have felt after that weekend? And I got you excited and inspired about what your potential is, what kind of health you can have. And then I didn't offer you anything. She said, she stopped and she said, I would have been really disappointed. And she goes, and I would have been really pissed off. Because I wanted to keep going. You got me started. I wanted what you were offering. So we have to keep that in mind. It's not sleazy. It's not salesy. It's just, this is what you deserve. Right? And they can say yes or they can say no. And a small percentage will say yes when you make an offer like that. And the rest of them say no, but at least you gave them a choice. Okay? Is that helpful? Yeah? Yeah. And you only have to be a step or two ahead of them.
Right.
And you're way number of steps ahead of all the average people that you're going to see. But there are going to be people who have been to every summit and every this and every that that know a lot. And they may intimidate you. And that's okay. And there are some that at the stage you're in, you might say, you know what? I think I'd rather refer you to this other person who you know is further along to help you, you know? Or you can say, I'm going to take this challenge. And I don't know all of this, but I'm going to really dig with this and I'm going to be by your side every step of the way. And we're going to figure this out together. And it's your choice at that point, which you feel more comfortable with. Okay. Good. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Right. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Good talk.
Bye. Bye. Good to see you.
Bye.
Guys. Bye.
See you tomorrow.